The first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 14. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But King Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." O Lord, have mercy upon us. The second lesson is from Psalm chapter 110, verses 1 to 4. The Lord says to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power, in holy garments from the womb of the morning. The dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The third lesson is from the first epistle of John, chapter 4, verses 7 to 16. Behold, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The fourth lesson is Matthew chapter 1, verses 17 to 25. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The fifth lesson is from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. The sixth lesson is from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The seventh and last lesson for the evening is from Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 20. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The sermon text for this evening is the Christmas Gospel according to St. Luke from chapter 2, which you just heard. The sermon title is The Angelic Gospel. In the Gospel for Christmas, which the one you just heard, there are two basic parts. The first part, verses 1 to 9, is the story of Mary, Joseph, the people of Bethlehem, and the shepherds in the fields watching their flocks. The second part, verses 10 to 20, is the appearance of the angels with their good news, and the reaction of the shepherds to that, and then the reaction of the people to the angelic gospel. The first part of the story is just common humanity going about its daily business. And you know, it wasn't Christmas that evening like we think of it. It was just another day, another evening. People traveling, staying in hotels, waiting in lines at the government office, dealing with government officials, hardly a festive idea, and a birth to common people. The second part was the sons of heaven piercing the dark skies with their blue-white light, with perfectly tuned voices and instruments, creating a surround sound IMAX experience that would have taken away your breath, leaving you spellbound and speechless. The first part was earth. The second part was heaven. And in this story, you ask the question, where was God? Was he in heaven or on earth or both? Well, the angel's hymn in verse 14 actually answers that question, although it is often misunderstood. The first line reads literally, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and upon the earth." See, God there is the object, and he is declared as being up there and down here, and glory to both places. This means the angels gave praise to God who was both in heaven and upon the earth at the same time. Then the second line reads, literally, "Peace among men to whom he shows favor." The second line was a blessing given by the angels to all believers on earth because God in the highest heaven shows favor to and declares righteous those on earth who believe in him. Now, where was God upon the earth? Think, it's not that hard. God was lying in a hay manger, in a stable in the town of Bethlehem. God being cared for by his mother Mary and his guardian Joseph. Yes, we call him Jesus Christ, Savior, Lord, and all those other good names for him that we find in the Bible. But really, we need to call him God, because that is who the baby boy was. And because he was God, he is of the highest cosmic royalty, and so deserves praise, honor, and every kind of respect imaginable. The angels that night outside of Bethlehem would have been showing disrespect if they didn't give him their praise and announce his birth to the shepherds, or at least to somebody. Why did the angels appear to shepherds? Mary and Joseph must have had at least a couple of relatives in town, not to mention those who had to come in for the census. Why didn't the angels appear to Jesus' relatives, at least on Mary's side, and legally by Joseph's side? Well, maybe those relatives didn't deserve it because, why was Mary and Joseph staying in an inn when all their relatives lived in Bethlehem? And then there were lots of important people in Bethlehem, like the mayor, the police, the head rabbi, a doctor or two, I'm sure, lawyers, various priests and Levites, school teachers, some merchants, some Pharisees, and others like them. Well, why didn't the angels appear to any of those important people? Well, maybe because the important people wouldn't have believed the news that God was born in their town, even though they were Jews and they should have known that from their prophets. But look who did believe. The shepherds, just common workers. They did believe the news. After the angels had departed, the shepherds did not debate among themselves about what they had seen and heard. They didn't say, "Well, God's in heaven, therefore he can't be on earth." Instead, they said, verse 15, "Let us see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." This shows that the shepherds believed what the angels had told them. They believed that God himself had revealed the angelic gospel to them. These shepherds were believers in every sense of the term because they believed the message and they believed that it came from God. Now, by the way, the shepherds did not leave their flocks alone in the wilderness. They left their faithful sheepdog with the flock, which is why there's no dog in most creche scenes. So don't feel bad for the sheep. They're well taken care of. The shepherds saw the baby Jesus like every creche scene and nativity painting in the world. We have one on our cover. We also have one about the third or fourth page. You hardly need to use your imagination for that part of the story. After seeing the baby Jesus, the shepherds went out and told everyone they knew, and even people they didn't know. They said, "Go over to the market inn, to the stable in the back. A couple by the name of Mary and Joseph are staying there. They came in for the census. They have a newborn boy. They call him Jesus. We saw some angels who said that he's the Messiah, a Savior, and the Lord God Almighty. Go see for yourself." In the first couple of days, many of the people of Bethlehem did go to see the baby. Others didn't bother. They said the shepherds were drunk or crazy or been eating rotten mutton. The shepherds didn't mind those people. They went back to their sheep, patted their dog on the head for doing a good job, and they talked about the angels and the baby for years thereafter. And their story, the story of the shepherds, is the first gospel. The end of our story in Luke finds Mary alone with her thoughts. Well, not entirely alone. She's holding Jesus in her arms. Joseph had gone off to register with the family. Mary knew that every baby is special, and it is. She knew that every baby is beautiful, and it is. So, how could she be the one? How could she be the one holding the very most special baby in the world, a baby who was God? Why me, she thinks. It seemed to be impossible, but Mary knew that with God, nothing was impossible. Even more improbable was why Mary and Joseph. Mary thought, why should I be the mother of God? This was really an imponderable thought. So she pondered and pondered. I am the mother of God? And she wondered about it for many years thereafter. And we still wonder about it too. But if you believe it, then you got it. The angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and upon the earth. Peace among men to whom he shows his favor. May our Lord grant that you believe this angelic gospel with all your heart, so that you have his peace this night and throughout the coming year. In Jesus' name, amen."